Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast featuring the Crop Doctors.
Good morning from the Crop Doctors Podcast Studio in Stoneville. Tom and I have Mr. Mark Silva with us this morning. Mark works for Mississippi State Extension, and Mark does our weather stations, but then I can't say what your exact title is.
My exact title is Program Manager for the Delta Agriculture Weather Center here in Stoneville.
Mark has been here longer than me. What year did you get here?
1999.
Oh, you do got me by a little while.
Like 7 years, because you got here in 06 and I got here in 07.
It was September of 1999.
And strangely enough, you probably could tell us, and I don't remember if we talked about this the last time we had you as a guest, but we had a much larger weather component at that point in time on this experiment station.
Oh, yeah, we did.
They did a weekly forecast at that point in time. Isn't that right?
That's correct. The USDA had a network here that did that, but they have since left.
They left before we tore the three-story building down, Tom.
Right.
Everything around here gets dated pre and post three-story building.
I'd have to look at the pictures on my phone to remember exactly when that happened, but I do remember that I had little kids because I think Charles Smith was giving my kids suckers.
Well, I know what year we moved in the new building. I couldn't tell you then the three-story hung around for another year or two before they removed it. I mean, we moved in that new building in 2012.
Yeah, and I bet it was
probably 14, Mark, when they tore it down.
That sounds about right.
14 or 15. Yep. Of course, it took them a while to do it because they had to get all the stuff out of there.
Well, they...
we'll just call it stuff, Tom. You don't have to be specific.
Yeah, there were a lot of stuff in there that was ancient.
There's some things that are running through the back of my mind that I remember that most of the labs that were in the basement or the lower story of that floor, first floor, actually had their own distillation device.
That's why I said just call it stuff, Tom. We don't need details, man.
Right.
Well, remember that safe that was on the third floor?
Yeah. I mean, it was like a vault.
How in the world did they get that thing up there in the 1920s or 30s or whatever that thing was built?
I have no idea. The door was thick.
Oh, it was humongous.
I do remember that.
Wait for Jesse James to throw a stick of dynamite in or something.
You need a few sticks of dynamite to blow that thing up.
I've only seen one that even rivaled that in a farm shop headquarters.
Okay, so I would say it was probably a legitimate bank.
I never knew really the purpose of it.
I
walked in there many times, and it'd be just like stacks of paper,
pencils,
paper clips,
random office supplies.
Like,
yeah. So I don't even know who stocked it. And stuff just was in there.
Probably had something to do with running this district of the extension within the state. That probably was the business office at one point in time, whenever that was. Because, you know, I mean, Jason had the office that used to be where the stairs went up.
Right. Yeah.
Well, actually, that's where that third floor, where the Northwest District Office for Extension was housed.
That's right.
At one time when we had district directors.
All right, so I don't want to get too far off track before I ask Mark my question, because I thought about this before we started. I want to answer. So, Mark, 1999, you've been collecting weather data for a long time. What is the highest rainfall total you've ever recorded in 24 hours during your time with Mississippi State Extension?
I think you about stumped me here.
It can be ballpark.
I'd say ballpark, probably around 6 inches.
You remember what year that
24? I do not remember what year that was.
Yeah, because that was that 2016 when we had that big old flood in March, you know, where we had like 20 plus in a course of 2 or 3 days.
Yeah. I think I probably dumped around 6-7 inches at one time.
I think that was like the first or second week of March that year. We were in Pensacola trying to get out of there because it was raining down there too, and it rained through here. Holy mackerel. I remember that, but I don't remember what year that was.
Gustav was a big rain maker, but that was like a week long deal. It wasn't necessarily in a 24 hour.
Right, correct.
What year was that? Is that 2009?
2008, I think.
Yep. Okay.
Gustav and Ike came through like within a couple of weeks of each other. 6 inches. We'll give Mark six. But I mean, you think about
that's a lot.
Yeah. If you dump 6 inches in my yard in 24 hours, we're definitely going to have some standing water.
And I drive a short car, so it always makes it exceptionally fun when you ride around some of these roads. I've had to come in different ways to the experiment station because you can't get down that road from Elizabeth if it rains too much. Culverts back up.
Speaking of culverts, I would like to appreciate Washington County. They put two new culverts in on the road going to our house, so progress.
Okay, Mark, we had you in today to talk.
Come on, man. That was legitimate, Tom.
It was. I know.
Culverts are a big deal in the Delta.
You're right.
Especially if you have water on, you know.
Okay.
And
what's funny is you're talking to the weather person, so that fits in actually. It's coordinated. It fits in perfect.
The floor is yours.
We definitely had Mark in to talk about some of the newer things that are going on with the weather station and data collection capabilities at Mississippi State University, and that's definitely the best reason to have Mark here. Mark, why don't you fill our listeners in on some of the things that you've done to increase our data collection capabilities throughout the state of Mississippi?
Well, one thing we've done is that's very important is when we started, we only had 4 on-site stations.
And when you say you started, what?
In 1999,
okay.
It was 4 on-site stations, and they were all connected by the landline. So what we had to do, we had to come in and collect that data. So you were just getting 24-hour data from the day before. You couldn't get real-time weather data then. You'd have to wait. So everything on our site was like the day before. For every 24-hour reading.
That was hard-coded in.
Somebody had
to take that from a written sheet of paper and actually plug that into a spreadsheet at that point in time.
And then we'd upload it on our website. So it really wasn't anything live, and it was kind of like archive, but that's the only thing we have, you know, available at the time. So as time went on, we started exploring more capabilities of connections to our weather stations, and eventually we all went cellular modems. That way we'll have that continuous flow of data all the time coming into the website, and it would be automatically uploaded. And with that technology that we were using, we were able to add real-time weather data to our website. And that way someone can go and pull up a station and look what's going on at that station at that time, every 15 minutes, live. So we thought that was very important to have in our network. That way, if someone has an area they're looking at, if they're, you know, having a research project in that area, 3 hours south of here, or on the coast, which we have stationed down there, or north, or all throughout the state, they can look at that station and be able to look, hey, it's raining right now, it's rained 2 inches, and they'll be able to know what's going on in the field at that time.
So in 1999, you had 4 weather stations hardwired in that, like you said, were producing archive data.
Correct.
Because it was never sooner than the day before.
Right.
So then how many stations are you managing now?
We are imagining 41 weather stations. We just put in 6 this year. We were aiming for 2 a year, but now with the support of the corn, cotton, rice, soybean promotion boards, with their support, we're able to add more weather stations, and we are basically adding about 6 a year.
Are you collecting real-time data from all of those?
Real-time weather data from all 41 stationary weather stations. Our goal is to add as much stations that we can, and to have as much weather data as possible out there in parts of the state. We want to fill in a void in each area where there aren't any weather stations, because we run into the problem where it's so hard to get weather data, and a lot of times you don't know how accurate the weather data that you're getting. Some sites you have to pay for. Ours data, you know, is free to the public 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they can log on our site and get that weather data. I have a lot of calls that come in, you know, people say, I've been searching for this area, I can't find anything or whatever, and they find our site and get on there, and we do have accurate, complete weather data sets for them to use.
So I know you have some of those stations are concentrated in areas. Just for example, you're collecting data from multiple points right here at Stoneville.
Correct.
So then how are you making the decisions about where a new one goes? So these six that went in, are you just targeting those areas of the state where the stations are less concentrated?
Correct. We were looking at and strategically putting these stations in areas where there are gaps between the station. Like, for instance, we have one in Lyon, Mississippi. The next is Tunica. Well, there's that gap in between there. So we're putting one midways there around that area, trying to fill in gaps as you look across the state and you see a station that might be in Tunica, might be in Lamar. So then we put one in between there.
Well, and historically, those have concentrated at locations where we've had variety testing plots. So correct. When Brad puts out, say, a corn location for the hybrid trial, there tends to be a weather station that's there to capture those weather data throughout the season to not only benefit his program, but right. even farmers within the area.
Right. We put out what we call a mobile weather station because a lot of times the trial moves, and we take wind speed, wind direction, temperature, and rainfall data at each of those locations. And that's very important because with these trials, if you don't have anything there, I mean, you don't know how much it rained, how's it going to affect your test, temperatures, wind, you know, all that affects everything on your research part. And we want to put a station right there in the trial. And you can access those variety trials on our website too, the same as the stationary stations, real-time weather data there. You can click and look at what's going on in the field.
On a yearly basis, I just download the data from the station that's closest to our stuff here at Stoneville, and then just send an Excel file out with the daily temperature, high, low, rainfall, and stuff. But then occasionally you'll have somebody ask you, well, what was the soil temperature? Or maybe they make the comment, well, we don't have any way of knowing what the soil temperature was that day. I'll say, yeah, you know, as a matter of fact, we do because we can get it. And then a lot of times that blows people away that we can go back 9 months and we have not only a soil temperature, we have a soil temperature from multiple depths. And I just feel like that we have access to stuff that not everybody else does with this weather network.
That is correct. And the good part about it is all our data is archived. We have hourly data, 15-minute data, and the 24-hour data that's archived. I've had calls, people, I need data from 2010. I need 2010 to 2012. Do you have it? We do. And the only thing that is, it's only good is when the station was established. A lot of times somebody will call and say, for instance, we got a station in Greenwood. It was put out a couple of years ago, and they'll want something that's 2010. Well, we don't have it. But what we want to do by expanding our network, we want to make sure in the future that people can get that archive weather data and can fill that void that they need. And by building our network, we can do that.
Where are those locations you plan for this year? Have you put those new stations out for 2024 or you're still in the process?
We're still in the process of looking at areas right now. We're in the process of getting equipment right now. You know, as soon as it dries up, as soon as we're able to get to the field, we'll start putting them out. Where right now, we're still contemplating on a few locations, but we'll probably have that settled pretty soon. What we try to do is work with the agents in each county too. I've been in contact with a few trying to help me, you know, find a location or find a spot, and they've been very, very helpful in getting connections with the grower there. You know, the grower's more than happy to accommodate us when we want to put that in that area because it benefits everybody.
Well, and selfishly, I always give a plug about some particular locations or general vicinities within the state about where I think some things would be more helpful.
And that does help with y'all, and the feedback we get from the researchers here helps us out a lot, and we appreciate that, and we appreciate the support that we get from the growers and the promotion boards and the researchers here that use it.
Well, and it helps that we have a pretty good vast network of experiment stations within this state in general. I mean, I think
correct.
There are some states that aren't near as blessed as we are when it comes to the number of general locations that we have access to.
Right. We are putting a weather station at each R&E center throughout the state. We're making sure that we have a presence there at each research station. So we've got them from all the way down, from North Mississippi all the way down. We even got one on the coast. We're called the Delta Agricultural Weather Center, but don't let that word fool you. We're not just in the Delta. We're statewide. We just use that because we are located in the Delta, but our goal is to stretch across the state and put out as many stations and covers that we can throughout the state.
Well, Mark, with 41 stations out, we have 82 counties. Mm-hmm. Do you have more that are off Mississippi State property than on now? I know we said we have multiple here at DREC.
We do have more. And, you know, one of our goals that I wanted to do is have a presence in each county. That's one of the things we want to do. We want to at least put one station in each county.
Man, I think that's an awesome goal.
Yeah.
That would be unbelievably comprehensive.
The first thought in my mind is then, you know, just upkeep and maintenance. You're going to need somebody to look at that, put physical eyes on that experiment, that particular weather station.
That's correct. And we've been looking in, kind of been exploring that. That's where maybe or the county agent can come in each county and help us. Maybe come in there and just clean out the rain bucket. It's minor stuff to do, but it's major impact on your data to have those stations working. And that's one thing we do is that we make sure that we maintain these stations, because when we're on this scale and the data that's important to researchers and growers and it's supported by the promotion boards, they're not going to be perfect, but we don't want a month that we didn't collect rainfall from somewhere. I have summer students in the summer that are going and hitting these stations that make sure that, you know, they're maintained and have good data that's consistent. You know, I don't like getting a call and saying, I need rainfall 5 years ago and for this month, and I'm sitting there saying, we don't have it. We want to make sure this data is good and make sure that they're able to get this data and not say, hey, we don't have it, because that's not what we're here for. Other networks around that may be offering weather data may have gaps like that. We want to have complete sets of data for people when they need it.
Mark, you also add some content to the Mississippi Crop Situation blog related to, you know, soil temperatures and how those are within the given week that you do that. You want to talk a little bit about that?
We do. I take an average 7-day soil temperature for the last 7 days and put out on the Mississippi Crop blog from North Mississippi, Central, Mid, and South, all the way to the coast. And what we do is we give growers and researchers that, or whoever gets on the blog, that way they can look and see that average soil temp. As soil starts to warm up and maybe give them an idea when it's a good time for them to get in the field. And we thought that's really important to have those areas for them to look at. And there is a huge difference. North Mississippi soil temps here in Stoneville, Raymond area, and then all the way down to the coast when it comes to soil temperatures. And we thought that was really important to put out on the blog. And mentioned that since we've been putting stuff on the Mississippi Crop blog, that within a year, last year we've had around 35,000 hits on our website. Since I've been posting stuff on the blog, we've increased to 62,000 hits. That's a good way to get the word out about our site too, plus give information from our weather stations to people at that moment.
Coincidentally, with this dicamba thing, Tom, I pulled a slide out to do in a talk last week, and it was, I don't know, several years old. But it was air temperature, Mark. So I had Tunica, Stoneville, Yazoo City. Mm-hmm. And the point was when you should start to expect to see Palmer amaranth coming up. And it was the historical average. And I made the comment when I was giving the talk that as air temperature, that's what I had. It'd be better if this was soil temperature. And I should have talked to you. But, I mean, I made that slide years and years ago. I could update that now with the soil temperature. That'd be cool to see it, especially if I could see it in a whole map, the whole state.
How many of your weather stations right now take active soil temperature? Is it all? Do you take active soil temperature at all of them?
All of them, except for the variety trials, unless it's requested. Our stationary stations all have 2 and 4 inch soil temps that you can look at also live. So if you're wanting to maybe plant into an area in North Mississippi or whatever, you can log on our website, look at that live data, and see what that soil temperature is at that thing. On the mobile stations, like I've said on the variety trials, by request, if in the future they're like, hey, we want to add soil temps, you know, we'll be able to do that too.
Some of those move so much. They don't move huge distances, but that would be a little bit of a headache to move some of that equipment.
Correct.
Mark, you mentioned your website, so let's make sure folks know where to go to find that. It's a pretty easy URL.
It is. It's www.deltaweather.extension.com. www.msstate.edu. You can log on there 7 days a week, 24 hours a day to get that data.
And I think I just Googled Delta weather and it pops up too.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's in like the top one or two. In fact, it's probably the top one. Yeah.
And of course, anybody that does Mississippi State, that it's MSSTATE. You always have to say there's two S's when you give somebody your email address.
That's right. Well, Mark, we thank you so much. We can't sit here and say enough how blessed we are to have the support of the agricultural community to continue to support this important effort.
That's correct. And like I said, we want to thank the promotion boards for their support. Without their support, we'd be lagging. But with their support, we're able to increase our network, add more weather stations for more coverage for research and growers throughout the state of Mississippi.
Thanks a lot, Mark.
Thank you.
The Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast is a production of Mississippi State University Extension.